Hello, boys.
Welcome to That Horror Show podcast with that dynamic duo of horror, Timothy Kazza and Christopher Koenig.
I'm your number one fan.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
When you think of horror, think of us. We are a podcast like no other. So sit back, relax, and enjoy That Horror Show podcast, if you dare.
And now for our feature presentation.
Recorded on Sunday, November 22nd, 2015. Hello and welcome to That Horror Show podcast's first ever Thanksgiving special. It's going to be a scream. I'm your faithful and always loving host, Tim Kazda, and tonight I'm joined by none other than the man who can baste and stuff a 30-pound turkey blindfolded, Chris Koenig. But wait, tonight we have a special guest in our studio, a third chair, if you will. He once proclaimed himself the dirtiest player in the podcasting game. Now he's just plain dirty and in need of a shower. Dave Rodriguez. How are you guys doing, gentlemen?
Oh, it's great to be here. It's great to be back. Thank you very much for having me. This is, you know, it's kind of like putting on an old favorite pair of underwear that I haven't worn in a long time.
It kind of rides up the crack.
And you know, a little bit, and it's a little restrictive, but it feels good.
Now, we said that we have a special guest star. Now, you know, Dave is not famous, but in our eyes, he is very famous.
I'd like to think that I am like the Rutger Hauer of podcasts.
Yes, you are. You are. You are. You may not have Rutger Hauer's acting talent, but you certainly have his physique and ability.
Oh, forget it.
Physique and ability.
Physique. Yes, I'm sorry.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, physique.
Yep. Podcasts out, guns out. Yes. That's my role. That's the way I live my life.
Yes, but it also makes a great reunion too.
It does. Yes.
And this being, you know, Thanksgiving for time for family. This is our first podcast together as a family. You know.
Yes. Back,
or I said a reunion because if you didn't know, we were part of Severpod or Super Evil Vampire Robot Podcast of Doom.
Word.
Yes.
For a few years.
I think it was 2 years. Yeah, 2 years. 2 years. Yeah.
It was good. It was good times, you know, and you know, we sort of branched off, and I've kind of been, you know, doing my own thing. I'm still selling pots in Guam.
Yeah.
You know, actually, just living the dream.
I heard you were reviving your acting career in Guam.
I am. I told you, I'm like the Guamese Rutger Hauer, but I'm not Guam.
You have the biggest hut in the village, right?
I do. My hut is large.
But wasn't the last film you did, you were telling me, where you were like just hitting balls in the air, soccer balls?
Hit balls in the air every day of my life.
Oh, every day of your life. Okay.
That's just
a normal Friday night.
That's
how I wake up. I'm like, I got to find me some balls. And then I'm going to hit them. I mean, that's the way I do things. But no, so what have you guys been up to? I mean, it's been a while.
Yeah, we've been doing the show and, you know, living life, living a dream.
Listening. I'm a fan. I think you guys are doing a great job here.
Thank you.
And I'm a definite fan of the fact that this doesn't sound like it's in a dark, dank hallway.
Which was your house, basically.
We called it the Hobbit Hole, Chris and I.
Yeah. Which I'm certain you still occupy the same house and it still looks like the Hobbit Hole, basically.
I do.
It looks like it belongs in the Shire.
Yeah.
It's my crib. It's my crib. Yeah. I love it. I go in there, and you have to take your shoes off because Hobbit don't wear shoes.
So just for our audience out there, in case you've never listened to us during our Severpod years, it was very hard to get a decent recording in Dave's place because it always sounded like we were talking in a small mic and everything was tinny.
Editing was a pig. Yeah. It was a giant pig. Yeah. I mean, it would just spit and yell and curse at me, and I would say, no, you are going to be edited, and it would just keep fighting me.
I would text Dave, like, so how's the editing going? He's like, leave me alone.
I would text him back, fuck off.
I can't get the editing right. And then there was one time where we had to completely redo the entire episode.
Yes, we did. We did.
Because the audio was so jacked up.
Oh, man. Memories.
Was it the reverb, right, or some sort of echo?
It was just, everything was said like twice. So it was just, it was like this weird, like deja vu. Like, I heard that.
So if you were on LSD, it would be perfectly, sane.
Or if we were trying to be like Andy Kaufman, where he did that thing
We should have released that episode for our drug-taking audience.
Andy Kaufman without the talent.
Yeah, without the talent. Yeah, yeah.
It was pretty mank. But no, it's fun. It's fun to get behind the mic and kind of get back into it.
Dabble your big toe in the shallow end. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I could still do it. You know, yeah. I may run away screaming.
No. So far, you've been doing pretty well. You still have it in you. Believe me.
It's only been 3 minutes into the podcast.
Well, believe me, if Tim and I can do this, you can do this too.
I can do it. I feel like I'm in a motivational video. Yeah.
You have $10 a month, yes, you too can become a podcaster.
Yes.
Chris is like an aproned Tony Robbins.
Yeah. I just came back from my other job, which we won't mention the names.
He was stuffing turkeys.
Yeah, which by the way, as Dave has commented on before we started, he's like, yes, you still have the five jobs thing going on, don't you? You know, you still are a Jamaican.
Yes. It's good times. But yeah, he came in and he had like a trench coat on, and I'm like, oh, he's looking dapper. And then he takes it off, and it's like, boom, like super apron man.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's, you put a big K on the front of that apron. Circle it, you know?
Oh, my God.
But when I take off the apron and I'm wearing this red shirt, someone said to me, you look like you should be coaching a soccer team. Like, yeah, I should be.
I'll get right on that.
Get right on that.
Just
throw
a whistle around your neck and a stopwatch.
Hustle it up, ladies. Let's go.
I'll find 11 kids and we'll form one up. Where do soccer teams hang out? Home Depot? Can I go to Home Depot and just get a bunch of, just, hey, get in my truck, come in my soccer, play some soccer.
I might need your help, Dave.
The football.
Oh, it's football. Oh, shit.
The football.
They'll be like, eh? That's how I got my job. I'm at Home Depot.
You need some work, buddy? Oh, why, indeed I do.
They're like, you speak English? Get in.
You could be the foreman.
Sweet.
Well, we should probably get right into this, what we're talking about.
So why don't we throw up that trailer, Chris and Dave, and let's roll that trailer for Thanksgiving.
I'm just going to throw stuff at the projector until it works, because I don't know how your new projector works.
Don't worry. It still runs like we're just pulling a lawnmower.
Yeah,
it still sounds the same.
Yeah.
It's a pull start, not a push start.
Since it's Thanksgiving and all that, we should go around and say what we're thankful for.
I'm thankful that your mom has the juiciest in town.
Back in the 1500s, in the settlement of Kralberg, an old Indian by the name of Feathercloud was dishonored by a pilgrim. Feathercloud necromanced a turkey. A turkey that would stop at nothing to get what he wanted. To kill.
Everything's gonna be okay.
You don't believe me, do you?
I do believe you.
There's no such thing as an evil turkey.
No.
There's no such thing as an evil turkey.
This little baby bunny got its stomach gnawed open by a beak. Not just any beak. A turkey beak.
There's no such thing as an evil turkey. There's
no such thing. Oh, wait. I lied.
You just got
Okay, so that was Thanksgiving.
For
better, for worse, for crap.
Before we start, I should probably, the idea of this episode was one day I was sitting to myself saying, you know what, we should do a special Thanksgiving episode where we review a movie that either is plausibly awful or awful enough to fit on this category, you know, fit on this day. You know, I mean, we need a turkey to review, so here's an example. And I was trying to think of a title. I couldn't think of one. And I remember, you know what, there's a movie I read about on a website, and I have to name it. It's called Original Video Junkie. And they reviewed a movie called Thanksgiving, and it was from 2009. So I figured, you know what? If this movie is as bad as they say it is, then I guess we might as well take the plunge and review it ourselves.
This is all your fault.
It is all my fault. Shit.
And that was and that sucking sound was a big flush.
Yes.
It's just right down the crapper. We're trying to attempt to actually flush the DVD itself.
Yes,
but
yes.
The little toilet hole will not accommodate a full-size DVD.
I'm just going to read for a second, just to give people an idea about the DVD cover, because it's really an example of a cover that's trying its damnedest to make fun of itself, but all the gags really don't work. So here, I'm just going to read a few. Here's one. Thanksgiving. Warning, boobs in the first second.
Sweet.
Here's one. The cult classic now on DVD. And it's not spelled DVD. It's spelled DEEVEEDEE. And here's my great line. Gobble, 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 motherfucker.
That was the best line of the movie.
Yeah, and I love this one. Unrated because we couldn't afford a rating. And then it says, and I love how the turkey character in this film, which we'll talk about later, is named Turkey, T-U-R-K-I-E. And everything is spelled horribly, like a young kid wrote this. Like in kindergarten.
The movie was basically like some kindergartner, like in crayon, drawing on a piece of construction paper.
I know, yeah.
That was this movie.
And I love this one, where basically it says something like, you got to get stuffed. And it says here, y'all have to excuse my foul language.
No, snap.
Did anybody else decide to watch the special features?
No.
No. I turned it right off.
I watched the movie, and then I went in and I watched like the first maybe 5 to 10 minutes of the director's commentary, which kind of makes it a tad bit better, but. Like, this is still horrible.
Yeah, yeah. I love it, too. Plus, the sucker was made for only $3,500. Great.
So the director's commentary made it, like, I mean, you can't polish a turd.
Yeah.
you can't polish a turd, either.
Well, Chris tried last time.
We tried. Last episode.
You can't polish a turd. You can spit shine it.
Yeah. No. You can't polish a turd, but... Not if you freeze it for a couple of months, then maybe. But even though...
Chris, speaking from experience, ladies and gentlemen.
I smell a story.
Yeah. No story.
Back in my day.
But no, Dave, would you like to... you know what? We figured it'd be great if Tim and I stepped back and allowed our special guest star to do the plot synopsis for us, because I know it's going to be filled with plenty of facts and trivia and merriment and myrrh.
Because basically, it's twofold. Because one, Chris and I didn't want to write one.
Yeah, I was about to say they're lazy.
And two, Dave is hilarious. So
yes, yeah.
You know,
well, our laziness makes sense because we just did a podcast. Yeah. We're pretty tired.
Check out episode number 9, that Scream franchise episode,
yes, yes.
And you'll wonder why we don't really want to write another synopsis
for a
while.
Yes.
So Dave, why don't you
take it? All right, I got to stretch first because, of course, wouldn't want to pull a hammy. You know, you don't want to do that.
Your glutes are looking especially tight today.
Thanks.
You've been working out.
It's been a while since you've seen me. Huh?
Tim, don't make our special guest uncomfortable.
It's always great to
We're
film.
We're sitting kind of close. Tim is actually on my lap.
Dave's got his hand on my crotch. Dave, what are you doing?
Yep.
News at 11.
It's like a clothed human centipede.
Okay. I think that's your cue to start.
All right. Well, guys, there are times in one's life when we are faced with the unenviable tasks that we are not happy to do. Tasks which seem painful and wrong, like headbutting someone in the scrotum. Like being on the bottom of a two-story outhouse while the person above you pays dearly for his visit to fast food laxative known as White Castle. Wait, guys, one more. Like cannonballing into a bowl of feces while wearing a Chewbacca mask. Stuff like that. It was with that same sentiment that I took on the overwhelming task of both watching and recapping the cinematic masterpiece known as Thanksgiving. Yay! Just looking at the DVD case made me want to stab my eyes out with piña colada umbrellas. Although the whole boobs in the first second tagline in the upper corner did pique my interest somewhat. Yet at the same time, the case sets the tone for a movie so ridiculous that it definitely doesn't take itself seriously. And in that way, it succeeds. In the same way that a drunk person managing to get to the toilet prior to vomiting all over himself instead of vomiting on the floor. Not the greatest of triumphs, yet a triumph nonetheless. But enough of the pre-synopsis rhetoric. Let's get to it, shall we?
Wow, that was great.
Best
the movie.
Ever.
Wait, no, it's not done.
It's not?
No.
No.
The movie begins with a pilgrim woman whose boobs are hanging out. And hanging being the operative word. Good Lord, those mammaries are huge. She's running away from something. Now, in school, when I was learning about the history of Thanksgiving, I don't recall the section in my history book which told of topless pilgrim girls. But I feel it was a quality wardrobe choice and one that pilgrims should have utilized as often as possible. But I digress. So she's running, and then she gets tomahawked by a killer turkey as he quips, "Nice tits, bitch." I'll let that sink in for a sec. And scene. Roll opening credits with some amazing music blaring in the background. If that doesn't make you want to run out and see this movie, then, well, you are most likely a well-adjusted person who should be commended for your choice in your cinematic endeavors. The attention then shifts to five college students, which check all the stereotypical horror movie boxes, such as the good girl virgin, the jock, the ditzy whore, the nerd, and the fat hillbilly redneck yokel. They all are heading home for Thanksgiving break and apparently have to drive through the backwoods in order to get there. Well, the tradition of shitty vehicles that never work in horror movies continues as the car overheats, forcing the five to camp out for the night as there happens to be tents in the back. The scene shifts to Lassie as the dog then takes a leak on a totem pole, which summons Turkey, spelled T-U-R-K-I-E, as was originally established, which kills Lassie. Because it makes sense that Lassie's magical urine summons a killer turkey. Well, back at the camp, the nerd tells a story of how a Native American shaman gets disrespected by Hillbilly Jim's ancestor, who gets pissed and uses mystical, magical shaman powers to summon Turkey, who appears every 505 years to kill, kill, kill the white man. Kill him till he is dead. Kill the white man. Okay, I realize that all of you want a minute-to-minute account about what happens in this riveting movie, but I just realized that I am giving a synopsis of a movie called Thanksgiving. This is what my life has become. Like a cosmic kick to the fuck parts. So I am going to touch all the important parts. And
twice.
All done. Just kidding. Not really. So, the kids get the car working the next day and continue their journey home. Well, Turkey needs a ride, so he gets propositioned by someone with a turkey fetish, kills him, and takes their car. First, Turkey heads over to the jock's house, which finds our football-playing friend trying to reconnect with his parents. The reunion is short-lived as Turkey kills them both as Jockey McJock-itch gets away. Turkey then heads over to the innocent virgin's house, where all it takes is a mustache, nose, and glasses disguise to trick her dumbass father, who is also dressed as a turkey.
Who's also, what, the chief of police.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yep.
This leads to one of my favorite parts of the movie, an incredibly awkward conversation between her father and the turkey, which makes no sense, yet is pretty amusing. Conversation not being a strong suit, Turkey kills the dad and then wears his face, Hannibal Lecter style, to fool the kids into thinking he's innocent virgin's father. Our heroes, being as dumb as someone who drinks shit-flavored coffee... Oh, wait! That happens in the movie, too! Fall for it. Well, they all go into the library because the sheriff definitely comes off as a learned individual. And finds out the way to kill the turkey is to take his talisman, recite some gibberish backwards, and then burn it at the stake. Long story short, Turkey kills almost all the kids, almost dies, become radioactive, then ends up dying at the hands of innocent virgin girl. Saw that coming. Or does he? Nope. I guess he comes back for a sequel that I will never watch. Hooray for things! And that is
bravo,
it.
You know
bravo,
what?
Bravo,
with
Dave.
You reading that, that should have been the end of the episode. But nope, we still have to talk about this movie.
And scene.
Oh, boy.
So, there you go.
You know, that's a. I got to say, that's a great synopsis to sum up this movie in a sense. But yes, we do have to talk about this movie. You know, I kind of find it amusing watching films that made by young filmmakers who either have a choice, actually try to make a good movie even if they don't have the money for it, or make a bad movie when they don't have the money for it and try to make it funny. And this is one of those films that falls in the latter category.
Yes.
But for me personally, when I hear that this movie cost $3,000 to make and the effort...
I think they overpaid.
And the effort really isn't there at all, even to make this an amusingly bad movie intentionally funny.
Exactly.
Then it's like...
And apparently they found the, I think, Wanda Lust.
Yes, yes, who's, Wanda Lust.
Former porn star. They found her on Craigslist and said, would she be willing to be the topless pilgrim for a day?
I wonder how much she got paid for that. Probably the actual budget of the movie.
Well, if they found her on Craigslist, chances are they just bought her like a value meal and called it a day.
I mean, she did have a very nice rack, but I would have probably come up with a better name than Wanda Lust to go on.
Well, they were big. They were big, but they were a little droopy. I mean, I was definitely looking and I was like, oh, they're hanging clothes on a clothesline. Yeah, no, wait.
Oh, wait. That's a pair
of
breasts.
Those are boobs.
That's a pair of
breasts. Well, beggars can't be choosers. Yeah. Zip.
But I have to say, the opening sequence is actually kind of funny, especially when he says the immortal line, nice tits, bitch. And,
I mean, it's immortal.
It's immortal line, but, well, you know.
I want that on my tombstone.
Yeah, it says nice
my
tits.
My epitaph.
Your tombstone says nice tits, bitch.
Yes. Word. That would work out great.
We should probably begin with our horribly dumb characters. So dumb that I can't believe a writer actually came up with these characters, because even though they fall into the category.
Wait, who's your favorite dumb character, though?
Oh, none of them.
No, I would say mine is Hillbilly Jim.
I would say mine, too. Hey.
Well, actually, the slack-jawed yokel.
I kind of like the bimbo character in this, but simply because she was just too damn stupid for her own good.
I liked the way the jock was like, I mean, I was shocked that the jock character, I didn't see him in other stuff. I mean, he put in such a great performance. I mean, his parents are dead. The turkey kills his parents, and he's just sort of like, I'm too stupid to know how to react. I'm going to go throw a football.
But I mean, like, intentionally stereotypical these characters are, but again, they make them just so stupid. Oh. I mean, even for comedy's sake. I mean, it reminds me when we talked about Pixels. Where they said, like, how
makes
can you...
Pixels look like Ben Hur?
It makes Pixels look like Shakespeare by comparison. I mean, you know, but yeah, we get these five characters, and they're all the typical stereotyped characters.
Exactly.
You know, the fat hillbilly, the jock. The nerd, which we have to assume is either just has a man crush on the jock, or he's gay whatever.
I think he's gay or pansexual. He's just fuck anything.
I don't know, man. Yeah, yeah. Well, I love this line where he says he's going to go buck wild and he's going to have sex in the car. And it's like, dude, it's a fucking Jeep.
I mean, what are you going to do?
Well,
yeah.
I like the line where the hillbilly, or Hillbilly Jim, as Dave puts it, he rips off his shirt and goes, it's Thanksgiving break. Woo!
I know, and it's like, oh my God.
Well, and you know what the thing is? The one character that became more tolerable was the nerd. Because the nerd at first was stupid and he kept wiping his nose and stuff like that. But then, like, towards the end, like, the nerd was, like, looking at everybody like, you guys are fucking idiots.
Yeah.
Like, he was kind of, but, I mean, you know, that's like, you know, I don't know. It's not really a huge triumph to be the best one.
Well, of course,
you know?
But you'd think these guys, the writers, Jordan Downey and Kevin Stewart, as well as the director Jordan Downey, would at least say to themselves, you know, we are doing a very cheap-ass movie. Can we at least try to make the humor kind of, I don't know,
I'm shocked there were writers.
I am, too.
I thought they just turned a camera on and said, here's the turkey, react!
Well, you know...
Just shake it. You're running.
And speaking of the turkey, let's talk about how it's brought back to life in this movie. I think they were taking a page from Nightmare on Elm Street. Is it Nightmare on Elm Street 4 Or is it I think it's Nightmare on Elm Street 4
where a dog urinates on Freddy and makes him come back to life.
Yeah, I remember that. That was good. Well, that was good.
I'll take your word for it. I don't remember.
Well, that was good in that movie. I did laugh for a moment when the turkey comes up and he goes, oh piss.
Well, the turkey actually had like like some decent lines, but it's like you could tell the turkey, it was forced. It was like, you know, gobble gobble motherfucker.
You know, his diehard line.
Well,
I guess in this movie we shouldn't be qualming over quality lines.
Well, let's talk about some of the death scenes that are involved in
this
too.
So, I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's not very gory though. Like it had its moments, like when the turkey was sawing the guy's throat.
Yeah.
You know, like that was, but overall, like it cut away a lot, like in those scenes. But you're not watching this really for death scenes. You're not, I don't know why you're watching this, to be perfectly honest.
You're trying to watch this for an intentionally bad movie, and it is an intentionally bad movie, but it's not intentionally bad funny. It's intentionally bad, like,
bad.
How did it get made bad?
Yep.
Yeah. So you're right. Tim mentioning the death sequences.
Yes.
Tim, why don't you start us out with one?
Well, we talked about the dog. He's the first one that gets it.
Yeah, yeah.
Lassie, whatever it is. Right. And then
which pisses off the other hillbilly
character.
Yeah,
with the shotgun.
Yeah.
And so he's on the prowl, and then he intimidates the virgin while they're camping overnight. He doesn't do anything to them then.
Which is easy to do.
The first kill is the pedophile, like, bird.
No, we...
The hitchhiker.
We don't even know if he's a... I love the... Okay, think about this. So what's this guy... Is he supposed to be like Dave said, a turkey fetish?
He has a turkey fetish.
Yeah.
It's a normal thing.
But what's the line he says? Are you for gas, grass, or ass? And the turkey says, well, I guess I'll take ass. And the turkey literally bends over.
So he fucked a turkey.
He's trying to.
Oh, yeah.
Then the turkey says something like, it's not for you and it's not for anyone else. And then somehow manages to grab a shotgun.
Right.
And tell
where
the
does
guy,
a turkey get a shotgun?
Had it under his feathers, duh. Yeah.
No, he hit it up his ass, apparently. Like,
he did. He was going to poke, and something was going to poke back.
Shoots the poor guy who manages to say, I have a wife and daughter. And the turkey says, here, call them. It's like, what was the point of that? I think
it was to show the inner demons that the turkey has, and the fact that the turkey has a heart and wanted at least to let the poor victim say goodbye to his loved ones before he met his maker.
Wow, you interpreted this movie a lot better than Tim and I did.
I'm telling you. I looked below the superficial buble surface, and I look
you
at the
dug
cross.
Deeper.
I look at the below the crust.
Yeah, so you found the subtext and the meaning.
I found
this movie.
The chewy nougat center of this movie.
Of Thanksgiving.
And it was chewy. It was very chewy.
And it was like
a little
chewy.
Raw.
Was it
chewy? Was it like very hard though?
It was a mouthful of manure. It was not pleasant.
Speaking of manure though, before we go back to the killing sequence, we should talk about the very brief. It was funny, but again, one of those things where it's just there and it really shouldn't be there, but okay, is when we are introduced to the sheriff and his wife.
That was cringeworthy.
You mean fro wife? I mean, she had a perfectly spherical afro.
I know, yeah.
It was
amazing. Yeah. And I love how he has his morning coffee and he says, Jesus, did you make this? It tastes like shit. No, he says, this is terrible. Did you shit in the thing? And she says, of course I did. And she pulls the coffee.
And there's a log in the coffee pot.
Oh, God.
There's literally a meat cigar right there in the coffee pot.
And then she yells, I want a divorce.
Yeah. And then as soon as she walks, I go, well, fine, get the fuck out of my house, bitch. It was like, what?
That's how my ex divorced me, oddly. It's really weird. Oh, wait.
Wait a minute.
The world's worst mustache, too, by the way.
I know.
Oh, that mustache is great.
The guy could have just grew out a mustache about 3 or 4 days, but yeah, he had to wear...
The guy could have just taken the logs of shit and put it on there as a mustache.
That was quite a lip sweater.
They went to the dollar store, they got like a cheap-ass cowboy hat with a star on it for
a
sheriff.
Yeah, yeah. And I know, again, they're trying to make it intentionally bad. But it's not even amusing.
But you're telling me this dude couldn't just like grow a mustache?
I don't know.
Call me crazy. Is he a man?
That's what I was telling Chris about. Just wait 3 days and you grow your own.
Yeah, grow a mustache.
Well, but not one that looks as impressive as that. But I mean, that's some talent. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that looks very effectively fake.
I mean, you can store nuts in there for the winter. That's how effective that mustache is.
But you are right, though. You could think he could have waited at least a week or so to grow that in, you know? But logistics in this movie? Come on.
I tell you what.
They had
a tight filming schedule.
Very tight.
So, yes, the death sequences. So, you know, we should talk about the one death sequence involving the jock's dad, because it's like they're like, what is it that his dad is mad at him about?
Oh, because he got hurt, and he was supposed to be the quarterback, the starting quarterback. Yeah. He got hurt, and he was now benched to be like second stringer because he's still injured or whatever.
But then he goes up to his dad and says, I made a...
Because he was lying to his dad to get his...
Okay.
I got, but the movie never explained
that.
Yeah,
But
then, you know, I just sort of said, I don't fucking care.
Dave was done looking at the deeper meaning.
I mean, it's like at a certain point, I'm just like, okay.
He took a mouthful, and that was enough.
Yeah. They basically threw a lot of stuff at a wall,
yeah.
And it just whatever dripped down first, that's what made it. You know, I mean, it's just.
But the jock's family is killed, and of course, you know, it's like, oh, there's a killer turkey on the loose,
right?
And they got to go warn their ditzy bimbo friend, who's supposed to be, doesn't want to admit that she's a whore, but everybody knows she's a whore. There's a joke in the film. Where she says,
the good girl virgin says, oh, her legs are harder to close than the JonBenet Ramsey case.
Yeah.
But first off, what kind of reference is that?
Which is kind of like, ha-ha, like, funny, not so much the first time you hear it. But then they repeat it like three times throughout the movie.
And of course the nerd character says it wrong. And they're like,
I would have laughed more if the good girl just said, you're a filthy fucking whore. Like, to me, that would have been funnier.
And by far, she is probably, probably the worst actor or actress out of the entire bunch.
Oh, and she's not even that attractive. So it's just like, you know, guys are just slumming it.
Yeah. but here's the best part about that. So she's busy having sex with this other nondescript dude.
Oh, yes.
Which, of course, the turkey makes this very hilariously fantastic sexual innuendo joke where he looks over while she's having sex and he just goes, pumpkin pie.
And then after he kills the dude, he then fucks the whore.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you just got stuffed, bitch, or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that was it. Yeah. You just got stuffed, snap.
But here's the best part that I observed that was mentioned on the review of this film from Original Video Junkie. There's this, if you look at the scene very carefully, she's got that close up where she's bent over, but then you get the close up shot of the turkey looking like he's straddling her. It looked like they used a pillow for her ass. I'm sitting there going, you know, it would just be easier if you had her turned around and made it look like he's fucking her. No, you have to have this bizarre pillow. This is how an example of these filmmakers or so-called filmmakers don't even try.
No, it's
they don't even try. Then they get it, the close-up of the turkey fucking her is like basically they're using a throw pillow to make it look like it's her ass.
To me, I actually wanted turkey to girl penetration. Like that's what I.
Well, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying
I think that would have made it more realistic and would have sold the movie.
Well, actually, what I'm trying to say is they should have angled the shots better and tried a little harder.
Oh yeah.
But no, they didn't.
They didn't try on anything.
Yeah.
The whole movie was just not trying. Like, it's just...
no effort whatsoever.
It's like...
For three grand, they couldn't try.
I've seen film school movies that had more effort and
you
know what I mean? Like, thought put into it. It was just like, I mean, even the turkey itself, like, was running around. You could tell it was like something was operating its mouth.
Yeah,
from,
which
like,
is obvious.
Below,
yeah, it's a puppet. It's a hand puppet, but... So they kill her, and then, of course, let's talk about that scene where the turkey goes and visits the virgin girl's dad, who's dressed up as a turkey.
I mentioned it in the synopsis.
Some sort of turkey-like ball or some sort of Thanksgiving ball.
Which he also says to his daughter, oh, by the way, your mother's divorcing me.
Not that the continuity is an issue with this kind of movie, but when she's calling her father to tell her that she won't be home because their car broke down and they're spending the night and camping.
Yeah,
doesn't he say that she's supposed to attend a ball with him that day too?
Yes, she is.
So there's two balls in like 2 days.
Yeah, because she's out camping, or they're stuck out camping,
right?
And it's like, oh wait, isn't that ball tonight? Is there another one the next day? Whatever. No one gives a shit at that point.
It's just something that just struck me weird right now. I'm like, that doesn't seem right.
If I ever ever say I'm going to a ball dressed up as a turkey, you have the permission to kick me in the face. So twice.
But the
because the first one might miss.
Well, you'd be the cock at the ball.
Boom, boom.
Yep. No spring chicken. I'd just be a winter cock.
But that dinner, the discussion sequence between the sheriff and the turkey was, you know what? You're all right. It is amusing.
It's just so awkward. Like, they're just kind of like sitting there, and then it's like, so what's going on?
And the turkey just for some reason decides to get fucking angry and be like, God, will you shut up? Well, what's that? No, nothing.
Yeah.
And then he's walking away, and the guy says, God, what a weirdo. He's like, that's it. What?
So was a turkey going to let him live at one point?
I know, but it's like, why is the turkey getting all mad? Because
he's an evil killer turkey. It's angry.
Well, then he should have just killed the sheriff immediately.
All the evil killer turkeys that I've dealt with in my life have all been angry. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They've all been
how many,
angry.
How many, Dave? How many?
One, and that was when I watched this movie. But still. It's consistency.
Well,
Wikipedia.
Wikipedia
killer turkeys.
But I would think that the killer turkey would have just killed him instead of sitting there and having the coffee with him and trying to have the sheriff having small talk. I know we're overthinking the plausibilities and the implausibilities of this movie. But in terms of the comedy, it doesn't exactly sell very well. So
this movie is like an onion that's hollow.
<That's hollow. laughs>
So it's like you peel off the first layer and you're like, all done.
Oh my God.
So so we have the sheriff and they're talking and they get killed. So maybe we should talk about how
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, we're at a loss. I'm at a loss for words right now.
So all right.
No, we should talk about when they go home and the turkey is disguised as the dad.
Yeah.
The Hannibal Lecter face mask.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, that
kids
was...
Kids are so stupid
I was
these
fooled.
Days.
I was fooled. I was like...
Of course Dave was fooled.
That looks just... Wow. What is that? I'm like, is that CGI?
I love the reaction of... I think it's Kristen, the virgin girl.
Yeah,
she's like, oh, hi, Daddy.
And then she has to, like, bend over to kiss him, and you think... You know, your father's a little taller than that. And, you know, am I the only one who also noticed that every camera shot in here... It is shot almost like a low angle. Not even when the turkey's there. It's just like everything is shot low. It's almost as if the filmmakers couldn't afford a tripod that could be extended further up. They only were able to get a small one. They're like, well, we'll just keep it.
Well, we'll just
angle.
Tilt it up.
Yeah, just tilt it up.
The filmmakers thought a tripod was a guy with a large penis. That's what the filmmakers, they didn't know. They've never seen a film tripod. Like
that's what the jock was for.
Yeah. But every shot in this movie, every shot in this film is like, every shot is low angle. Like, it's kind of like how when I was a kid and when I was shooting films, when I was a young, like, 8-year-old or 9-year-old shooting with a video camera with a tripod, I didn't exactly know how to extend the tripod up until, like, a year or so later. So it was like, you know.
Ooh, there's that latch there.
Yeah, there's that latch there. You know, but that's what you learn when you're a young kid.
Right.
These are a bunch of, like, you know, teens, college students trying to make a film.
Well, I mean, this movie looks like it was shot through a ViewMaster.
Yeah.
I mean, the cinematography isn't exactly like amazing.
It
I mean,
there
it's
was
like,
cinematography.
I thought I had to click the little button on the side to get to the next scene. I was like,
yeah.
And sometimes you have to double click it to get it lined up, right?
Yeah. It does.
I was like, when did I put this disc in?
Why? Why?
Oh, it's upside down.
Why is the picture shifting, and why is Winnie the Pooh showing up out of nowhere?
That would have been awesome, just out of nowhere.
But, the kids, you know, they visit the dad, obviously. They discover that the dad is really not the dad. It's the killer turkey, and, of course, you know, all hell breaks loose.
Yes.
Which, by the way, the fat hillbilly gets tired after looking for the book in the library.
Right. Can somebody explain his death scene? That made no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, I thought he was shot in the stomach at one point, but no,
I thought he was carved, and then, like, his insides were out, and then he floated to heaven.
Well, we should describe it, though. It's like he's walking.
He's walking on the sidewalk.
And then you go.
And he sees, like, this, like, shimmering thing. I'm so hungry.
Yeah, and he sees, like,
it's a magical turkey.
It's a horribly CGI cartoon-looking turkey that's floating in the air, and it has the most immortal words ever. Eat me, Billy. Eat me, Billy. And of course, somehow Billy eats the turkey, and he gets a stomach ache.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. His stomach, his stomach looks like it explodes from the inside. So obviously we have to surmise that the turkey, he ate the turkey, and of course the killer turkey exploded from his stomach.
He ate turkey.
Yeah, but here's the problem, though. we see Turkey take what looks like the front of a shotgun and throw it out of the kid's stomach. So did the turkey just shoot his stomach open?
No.
And if he did, did he shoot it from like the backside and just stick his head right
earlier
through?
Earlier in
then...
the movie, the kid eats a shotgun. Simple.
You know, like, I mean...
I'm glad we had this talk.
Yeah, and of course he says the immortal line in the film where he goes, gobble, gobble, motherfucker.
Oh, which, I mean, and I mean, that's been used.
Oh, that's been used so many times.
In one movie.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Maybe two. But, yeah.
No, I mean, but, and then it was like, they had like that weird sequence where it was like, what was it? The nerd and Hillbilly Jim were like running around and they were eating ice cream together.
Yeah, because I guess they were best friends.
They were best friends.
Best friends.
Which once again makes you wonder, are they more than just best friends in this movie?
Well, the guy was, you know, he was, and early on, I mean, Hillbilly Jim didn't let him drink his beer, which I thought was like shitty. I mean, come on. Like,
what the fuck?
Let the poor little guy have, you know, he's a virgin. You know, let him have some beer.
Let him have a beer.
Let him have a beer. He just wants a beer. And it looked like shitty beer, so I was like, PBR.
And did you notice how they turned the beer can away from the camera so you can't really see the name brand?
It's like this. It reminds me of the Simpsons Halloween where the groundskeeper Willie says, "Boy, you got this shitting. Oh, that's just shiny. Quiet. Want to get sued?" It's like this. Oh, turn the can around. Want to get sued? No.
It would have been better if they just had a can with a white with black writing that said beer on it. You know, like really cheap.
That would have been great. I would have loved that. Or I would have just loved it if it just had nothing written on it.
I think it would have been better if it was like fruit juice. Or if it was like a giant thing of Kool-Aid, but they were drinking it like it was beer. You know, throw me off. Challenge me as a viewer is what I want. I mean,
what did you want for 10 bucks? You want a real movie?
You know, challenge me. Challenge my intellect.
I don't know if that'll be hard enough, Dave.
This movie was like... This was like 2 plus 2 equals negative 8. It's like, that's
pie
not
squared.
Right.
That's not right.
And then they just are like, shut up, look at these shiny things. They're just distracting you.
Well, Tim, what was the other... I will say one part I did kind of laugh at was when they're looking for the book to help explain how to kill the killer turkey.
Yeah, it's not like they're like looking for the Necronomicon in this guy's backyard in his basement.
Yeah, they find it in the sheriff's library.
How convenient.
But I love it when they have this montage and the fat hillbilly's eating fries, and then they find the book. You know, after the montage, it's like, okay, they're going to find the book. So they find it, and the fat hillbilly goes, "Oh, I'm so starving. We've been looking for hours." And one of them goes, "We've been looking for 15 minutes. And that's like the oldest joke in the book to use.
Comedy.
In a scene like this.
Comedy chops.
Comedy chops. Oh, well, this cast certainly had comedy chops.
Well, like I said earlier, this script was probably written in crayon. He just kind of just sat on the pot.
No. It was written on a piece of napkin, and they're like, here's the story.
And that napkin was used to wipe up some pizza spill, you know.
But to the guy's credit, he folded the napkin over, used the back, used the inner flaps. I mean, he used the entire napkin. But it was a napkin.
Okay, so after the montage of them finding the book and the ritual.
And then, of course, the hillbilly's killed.
Right, and then you get the montage of the backstory of the bromance between the nerd and the hillbilly.
Yeah, yeah.
Then we're on to they're trying to track down the turkey's tent or teepee.
Yeah, which they do. And of course, the turkey is just making a salad. Why is he making a salad?
Because turkey doesn't want to eat turkey. Get it? He wants a salad. He's a vegan.
Dave, you figured it out once again.
I paid attention. I don't know how or why.
So, of course, the kids show up and they have to tie the turkey together. And the turkey's like swearing at them and saying, you know, oh, yeah.
So they got the talisman. So they're reciting the sayings backwards in unison. I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
So now he's mortal. So then the hillbilly that lost his dog at the beginning of the movie busts in and shoots the turkey, but the turkey goes flying, no pun intended, into a garbage can. But it's not just any garbage can. It's what? Filled with what?
It's okay.
Feces.
No. It's a garbage can in the middle of a neighborhood, which just happens to contain radioactive waste.
Because that happens.
How happened. Convenient.
How convenient. I didn't know that this town was in Tromaville.
This makes Troma look like, you know, like award-winning material.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But the turkey runs out and he's like, oh, shit, and gets his blown away. And the kids are like, the turkey can't die. It's immortal. And they're like, oh, well, it looks like it's dying after all. And, oh, okay. And they walk away. And then it's, and I love when they go and they watch Night of the Living Dead, which is an insult to have Night of the Living Dead featured in this movie.
And can I say something?
Did they need to get permission for that?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Oh. The virgin lost her father. Mm-hmm. He's dead.
Yeah.
And the quarterback, Jack, lost his folks. Yeah. So let's go watch a fucking movie.
Well, and do you remember what he says after, like, they think the turkey's dead? The quarterback's like, you know what? I'm glad all this happened. Because
even
now
my folks
I found
are dead.
Two friends. And I'm like, your parents are dead, you dumbass.
Well, no, I even love it better when one of them just says, in order to try to connect the whole comedy aspect of this movie, when I was... You know, I think that turkey's dead. I mean, what's the worst that could happen? It could land in a vat of radioactive waste and come back to life?
That's called foreshadowing.
But it's such obvious foreshadowing.
I mean, that's...
Well, it was kind of foreshadowing when the turkey landed in the green goo in the first place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then when they said it, that's like bonus foreshadowing.
Yes.
Yeah, bonus foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing too. This time it's personal.
Oh, God.
The reckoning.
The reckoning. So,
foreshadow
so, yes.
harder.
So, anyways, so yeah, it lands in the radioactive waste and it comes back to life, and now it's glowing green, and it's, you know, I would have loved it better if it had, like, grown two heads and become mutated.
Oh, but that would cost more money.
Cost more money, yeah.
I think it should have looked like Super Shredder.
Actually,
from Secret of the Ooze.
No, no. It would have been cool if it grew two heads and it started fighting itself. Like,
yeah.
Like, almost like Army of Darkness where Bruce Campbell fights himself and then it would...
You cannot talk about Thanksgiving and then a classic...
I know, I'm sorry.
Well, he already did that with Night of the Living Dead.
So. I know, yeah. But we couldn't help that because it is in the movie.
It is in the movie.
And the only reason why they used that was probably because that's in, like, public domain.
It's still public domain, which is a shame. I feel so bad for George Romero. I wish they could sue them to get some money out of this. But they probably would only get, like, $5.
Yeah. What's the, you know, zero, what's the percentage of zero?
Yeah. I can't even...
0.0. Zero.
I gotta be honest. I can't tell if this movie is worse than when during our Severpod days and Dave didn't review this with us. I can't tell if this movie is worse than the violent shit film.
Violent shit.
Violent fecal matter,
yeah,
yes.
Violent Shiza.
I never saw that.
You should have.
I should have seen violent
shit.
You
know, truthfully, this one wins by being better.
Yeah,
by like
okay.
a beak.
By a beak.
I see what you did there.
Yes, yeah.
The man's a professional.
So I have been doing this for 3 years now.
So anyways, so we should probably wrap up the exciting conclusion to this movie. So the turkey kills the jock and nerdy kid, of course. All that's left is the virgin girl. She's on her own. She has to. She's a virgin chick. She has to step up.
That's the part of the horror movie rules.
Yes, and she has to step up.
I think she was a filthy whore and they just didn't tell us.
You know what? She might have been. But what does she do to the turkey? What does she do in this film? She
eats it.
No. Well, she does eat it. She does eat the turkey, but what does she do to it first?
She throws it into a
she
big old
throws
fire.
It onto a
bonfire.
Is it? Like a random pyre that
yeah,
just happens
just
to be hanging around.
Yeah. And then a nice roasted piece of turkey meat falls out, which it looks like actually it looks like a piece of fried chicken, to tell you the truth.
Yes.
It comes right out, and she takes a bite out of it.
You know, he's radioactive. He's dead. He's a killer turkey. You're going to really ingest something like
and
that?
And the hermit was there.
Yeah, the hermit was there. Did he set that fire up?
I don't remember.
I don't think he did.
But the hermit was there. And you know what? It's funny because I watched this with my girlfriend, and she actually mentioned that. Like, why is she eating the turkey if it's radioactive?
Yeah, should she have radium poisoning?
And I sort of looked at her, and I said, what are you analyzing this for? We just, it's over. Yeah. I'm just happy it's done.
Did you do the same analyzing when you watched American Haunting 2, Ghosts of Georgia? No, A Haunting in Connecticut, the Ghosts of Georgia.
Haunting in Connecticut 2,
the
Ghosts of
Georgia.
What? Why?
And it didn't even tie into the first movie.
Two different states. Just name it Ghosts of Georgia, for Christ's sake. I'm sorry. This podcast is not about that, but I still have residual anger.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're
that.
Still very, very angry over
that. I put it away. I stored it. but it's coming out. And it's all your fault for bringing
that sorry,
up.
I had to, though. I wanted to see if I can get some more of that rage out of you, and you just came out.
I'm
with
all right.
It.
Calm blue ocean.
Calm blue ocean, yeah, yeah.
Fluffy bunnies.
Think of a Bob Ross painting.
Fluffy bunnies, Bob Ross. You know who with the afro, today we're going to paint flowers.
Yeah, Do you know who killed the fluffy bunny? Do you know who killed the fluffy bunny?
Well, who killed the fluffy bunny?
Turkey.
Yes, turkey. There's a scene where he kills a fluffy bunny in this, which obviously looks like a fluffy bunny of like one you bought out of a store.
Yeah. Really. I tell you,
the nerd says, that's the markings of, was it a beak? A turkey beak.
A turkey beak, yes. And I love it, too, when the girl gets scared, and then, of course, the nerd kid goes, no, I was just saying all that to scare the shit out of you.
Oh, hey, can we briefly touch upon the sign that they found just lying on the grass?
No. Yes.
No, we can't.
Stopped the truck.
It's like they just went to the store and bought that, and like, here.
Oh, look at this. If the sign fell down, it looks brand fucking new.
Yes. Well, you know, the local city workers, they just, you know, I guess they didn't pay them very well in this town. They just put it up. But anyways, but of course, like all horror movies, slasher-themed horror movies, horror parodies like this, it comes with a great tag at the end of it, you know, where we get this great scene of a family eating a Thanksgiving dinner, which actually looks like the film's director literally grabbed their camera and photographed the family dinner. And then the turkey comes up and says, gobble, gobble, can you say sequel? And then, of course, it cuts to black. And
which makes no sense whatsoever. Are they eating the turkey that they found on the fire?
Yeah.
Because that doesn't seem very sanitary.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole movie wasn't sanitary. To be honest, after I watched it, I needed to take a shower. I just felt dirty and filthy.
Yeah. And it wasn't because you were swimming in a dirty pond, right?
No dirty pond. No dirty water. Those days are long behind me.
You've grown up, basically.
I've grown, I've matured.
He's matured.
You've matured to the point where you're watching a movie called Thanksgiving.
I'm matured. Dirty water. Every so often, I'll bust out the snorkel and flippers, I'll put them back. Yeah. You know, it'll be tempting, but
you
then
know,
I'm like, no.
Again, you know, we're sitting here and we're analyzing this movie, which we shouldn't be, but we kind of have to because that's the point of the show. But I mean, again, for a low budget or no budget horror comedy that's trying to intentionally be bad and funny, I really wanted this movie to be really funny, but it's just really just, you laugh, but you laugh not because it's funny, you laugh because it's like amusing or it's like, okay.
But the laughs weren't like chuckles, like belly laughs. They're like, more like groans and like,
I sort of laughed.
I saw what you did there.
I laughed to keep from crying.
Your soul was just eaten away by watching this thing.
I'm never getting that 66 minutes back. Never.
Which, by the way, is a running time of the longest probably hour I've ever spent sitting in front of the television.
I mean, I was thinking, like, I can do 66 minutes of this, you know, standing on my head, no problem. And then by, like, minute 25, I was like,
He periodically pauses just to check the running time.
Who put on the four-hour movie?
Now, I have to say, though, there is a sequel to this movie, which if our podcast lasts as long for the next year, we may consider reviewing it for
you
the next
You guys are
thing.
On your own.
No, Dave, you're back.
No, you gotta come back. We may
It's called tradition, Dave.
We may review Thanksgiving 3. Oh, wait. Is there a part two? Well, the story about Thanksgiving 3 is that part two doesn't really exist. Well, it does exist, but it doesn't really exist. The storyline for Thanksgiving 3 is Turkey has to save the last remaining copy of Thanksgiving 2 because they've all been destroyed.
And why?
And I have to say, I was looking up Thanksgiving 3, and I found out that there was a Kickstarter campaign for Thanksgiving 3 where the filmmakers raised, I believe, about $200,000 to make Thanksgiving
3. So they quadrupled their budget.
Which I have to ask, I'm not against Kickstarter, but in all due course and honesty, why would a Thanksgiving 3 opt to have a $200,000 budget? I mean,
bigger
come
and better.
On.
CGIs, man. CGI, graphics, more blood.
Except I heard the entire cast of Thanksgiving 3 is performed by puppets. So
that actually sounds intriguing.
So that means the director pockets all that money.
Yep. So if whoever donated to that production, shame on you.
Well, I'm telling you, if you guys are doing it next year, you can have Dave back. What I'll do is I'll record and I'll give you a soundboard of just various Dave things. Be like, fuck off. This movie sucks. I hate life.
But you know,
your face.
But
for a 66-minute movie, I gotta say, I was laying back on my bed watching this. And I felt like it was like 2 hours.
Did you have no pants on?
I did, but when I saw how bad, I just put the pants on. This movie literally was so bad it made me put my pants back on.
Oh. So when the girl was running around with no top, then the pants were off.
Yeah, yeah.
But then once the movie kicked into gear,
the hillbilly ripped off his shirt.
No, then the pants went back down. The pants stayed on and the belt was tightened.
And then he put on a snowsuit. He's like, I'm inside, but I got to make sure I'm covered. Got to be covered. He looked like Ralphie's little brother in A Christmas Story.
Yeah. I can't put my arms down, Ralphie.
But, this, I gotta say though, for as awful a movie as this was, it's trying to be like a trauma film. I gotta say, it did bring us together.
It brought us together.
And at the point of Thanksgiving.
Yes, yes.
I mean, I'm telling you.
I don't think I can eat this turkey though.
I gave thanks when the credits were rolling. I was like, thank you. Thank you.
Did you get on your knees and you were like, thank you, God, thank you? Did you say you'll build 7 churches in God's honor?
And then you know what? And you know what I did? You know what
Psych.
I did? I went to the fridge. I took out some cold cuts, and I made myself a turkey sandwich. And I ate the shit out of it. I was like, some cold cuts.
And then the turkey exploded out of your stomach.
I'm going to eat some cold cuts today.
And your turkey exploded out of your stomach
gobble,
and said,
gobble,
gobble, motherfucker.
No, because it was cold cuts. He would have to reform in my stomach. And since I only ate a portion of the turkey, I would assume that wouldn't be possible.
You know what? That's good thinking.
Yeah. I tell you what, not just the hat holder. Not just the hat holder.
So I don't know. I mean, I know that the filmmakers try their best to make an intentionally bad movie, but the movie still ended up being just bad. So what is? I mean, you know, what do you think we can say about this movie?
Two thumbs up. Two beaks down.
Two beaks and a tripod large penis man down.
I give it a wing.
But Tim, do you really have no trivia for this movie?
Yes, I do.
Oh, you do?
I have about 11 fun facts, which, well, it's just about as fun as can be.
I was going to say, they're like nuff facts, the opposite of fun.
There's actually one fact I didn't have on my list, but apparently they couldn't find anybody to release this film.
No.
They couldn't find
So what they did was
they released on Amazon and they waited to get like 1,000 copies. It took them a year to buy 1,000 people to buy the movie 1,000 copies.
Yeah.
So that's how the film eventually got traction.
Right.
There was nobody wanted to release the film, which I can't imagine why.
And it's a shame because if you think about it, I'm certain, you know, in the independent film scene, there's so many films being made, and there's some out there that I'm sure are good, but never get distribution.
Yeah. So,
this fucking thing gets distribution? Well, God damn it.
Distribution.
If you're a filmmaker or you're a musician or a writer, you go to Amazon, you put your shit up there yourself, and then hopefully somebody buys it.
So if you happen to make a movie as bad as this, you may get distribution.
It may take you a year or two to get the quota.
Right, right.
But, yeah. This film was shot in 11 days. Well, no big surprise there. The central tagline, gobble, gobble, motherfucker, came before there was even a plot for Thanksgiving.
That's awesome.
The title card, To Be Continued in Space, was placed there as a complete joke with no intentions of any sequels. The creators copyrighted the title Death Turkey as a potential title for overseas release, as most countries don't celebrate Thanksgiving.
Death Turkey.
That would have probably
been
a
great band. You guys ever heard them? They're fucking awesome. They rock.
Yes, I've seen them at a bar one time. They were okay.
It's literally a live turkey on stage singing with a death metal band.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Amazing.
I remember it too. All the lyrics, he just goes.
Yeah, he goes. It's like. It's amazing.
Well, surprise, there were no deleted scenes in Thanksgiving.
The only
scene that shot that did not end up in the final film was a flashback dream sequence completely improvised on set where Darren runs through a cornfield. Okay, because that would... Yeah, I don't get it.
They had a set? That's what I'm more shocked at.
They had a set on this?
Okay, the opening scene was originally written and planned to be much more extravagant, involving an entire Native American and Pilgrim dinner scene, but time and money quickly ran out and the scene was never shot.
I'm gonna call
that would have made it so much better.
I'm gonna call bullshit on
actually,
that.
Actually, if you listen to the commentary, he does mention that. They said they did have something planned, but they didn't have the funds for
time
it.
And money on this film? Come on.
Well, more like the lines of money. But Thanksgiving was shot during the summer break between Kevin Stewart and Jordan Downey's junior and senior years of college.
Robert Downey Jr.?
Jordan
Downey. Jordan Downey.
Is that his brother?
He's Robert Downey Jr.'s less talented brother.
He's like, I suck at life, and my brother's Iron Man. This is bullshit.
So the infamous... oh, God, Cambridge. I'm going to compose myself for a second.
This is some sad shit. He's flying around with rocket shoes, and I'm making a film with a turkey. What type of garbage is this?
Oh, my God. Okay. All right.
The wheels are off the train.
There is no track. Okay. The infamous opening scene with Wanda Lust was shot without a permit in a public park, so they totally, you know...
Gorilla'd it.
Gorilla
filmmaking.
Wow, good for them. I'll give them credit for that.
auditions were held in director Jordan Downey's garage.
People had to audition for this film? Like, that's the fun fact. That's the fun fact. It's like, can you imagine how bad the other people had to suck to not get the role?
They couldn't read.
You know, I mean, they were like, I don't know what this says.
I have to mention this as a side real fit. Not to interrupt you there first, Tim, but... Okay. You know, there's the infamous bad movie Troll 2, which is always being thrown about as being one of the worst movies ever made. I recently watched the documentary made about that film called, you know, Best Worst Movie.
Right.
And, you know, after watching that documentary, I just kind of came to the conclusion, you know, Troll 2 is not a good movie at all. Not in the long shot, but it's not a bad movie. If there's a really bad movie that really falls into the category, it's this movie.
Well, are you saying that these two films should face off in some sort of death match?
Oh, they should.
Wait,
the Killer Trolls in Troll 2, oh, I'm sorry, the Goblins in Troll 2 versus Turkey. I mean, come on.
I want to go back to the auditioning. I'm not over this yet. Like, did the guy from the Green Mile come in and he was like, I don't know what this says. And they're like, you're not going to work.
I don't even think the guy from the Green Mile would have even auditioned for a movie like this.
Not the actual guy, like the character from the Green Mile.
I know, yeah, yeah.
I know the guy. Michael Clark Duncan is no longer with us. Yeah, yeah, rest in peace. Yeah. But I'm talking about the character from the Green Mile jumps off the screen, says, goodbye, Tom Hanks. I'm going to audition for Thanksgiving. And goes over there and audition. I mean, how bad must these other people have been?
I don't know. Well, even...
That's the fact that I'm going to research that. I want to find out how many people they had to go through to get their
because
cast.
It really doesn't feel like anyone auditioned for this movie. It feels like, again, like a bunch of guys just got together and said, hey, let's make a movie. Which is fine on one level, but it reminds me, again, of the attitude that the people behind the movie Violent Shit had. And if you've seen that movie, it's basically a bunch of dumb...
You know, Chris, over the past 3 years, we've seen a lot of fucking garbage.
Yeah, I know, we have. But there's always that one that sticks with us, and it's like... But, I mean, think about it.
Why do you think I took a hiatus? I couldn't handle it anymore.
Welcome back.
I gotta go. I can't handle this.
Tim, what else you got?
Sorry. Turkey. Lindsay Anderson, who played Kristen, came at the recommendation. No, there was a recommendation of Ryan E. Francis. The filmmakers first met at a donut shop to discuss the movie only days prior to shooting. Okay.
Was that where they did their table read at the donut shop?
At the local Dunkin' Donuts.
At Dunkin' Donuts, the guy's like, come here, it's time for your donuts. Shh, we're doing a table read.
They actually probably had to be kicked out of the donut shop because they were only drinking coffee. They had to buy something.
Don't you read here. Don't you do it. Don't you read that script on that napkin. Don't do it. Do not do it.
You wipe your mouth on the napkin now.
She's that's revoking, right. You eat this donut. Put it in your mouth.
He's revoking the Wi-Fi
and the yokel guy's like, I'll eat it.
And then the manager revokes the Wi-Fi passwords for the people.
No Wi-Fi for you.
Okay, and finally, Troy Smith's budget for special effects was only a few hundred dollars. So, big surprise,
I know. Big surprise, yeah.
Yeah, the effects were special. Yep. Special is exactly the word I'd use.
So, is there anything else anyone would like to add before we go?
I don't know what else we can add about this.
I like
turkey.
Pie.
No. The turkey said it best.
Hooray for things.
No. The turkey. Remember the turkey says, pumpkin pie. Yeah.
I will not quote this movie.
I will not quote this movie.
Anymore.
No. As a matter of fact, we have a chalkboard here, and we're going to all write, I will not quote this movie 800 times.
Oh, God, no.
And we're going to record that for you guys.
Just kidding. Listen to us.
I don't know what else we can say about this movie. I mean, I think we've tarnished its reputation as a bad movie cult film.
Its reputation. I think it's kind of took a notch off our reputation.
This movie does surprisingly have a reputation, but I'd still say what reputation?
You guys are probably going to get a letter because they're going to like the publicity. They're going to be like, thank you for
talking about
us.
They're going to write to us and say, how dare you insult this movie? It's supposed to be intentionally bad, and I just sit there and laugh and read it.
It would be nice to get some mail.
Yeah. Oh, the mail room is as empty as it always has been?
In fact, we don't even have the mail room.
You didn't build that yet?
No.
We had to retire the tumbleweed because we had to.
The tumbleweed was sad and you couldn't afford to keep it on payroll. You had to lay off the tumbleweed.
It was asking for a raise.
Yeah.
All you do is roll. Yeah. And you're not even good at that.
It looked at us and we were like, nope, not having any of this.
And it looked at you like, wow. And you're like, don't play that song with me.
Don't.
And for those of you who don't know, we used to have a mailroom segment on our old Severpod show. So
yeah, which we never got any mail in.
Yeah. We got probably about three or four roughly.
I think the mail we did get mostly was Dave's subscription to like gay porno mags. But
hey, that was a joke. Mark did. That wasn't my subscription. And I read it for the articles.
So, well, with that, you know, first off, I'd like to thank our special guest, Dave, for being a part of our first ever.
Yeah. Well, thank you for enduring the movie.
No, in all seriousness, thank you guys very much for having me. This was like a lot of fun. It was great to get back in, and we'll definitely have to do it again at some point. But this was great. Yeah. I had a great time.
Killing Three.
Chris.
Yes, I'll take the blame for suggesting this movie. Yeah, I know.
Well, we hope you were entertained by our little show. Maybe you guys enjoyed it while hopefully doing something fun and festive like cleaning your house or preparing your own Thanksgiving feast for friends or family. Or maybe you just ordered takeout and are about to watch football. But nonetheless, thank you for being letting us be a part of your day for a little while. And secondly, if you'd like to contact us, you can do two different ways, either through our Facebook page at facebook.com/thathorrorshowpodcast, or you can email us at thathorrorshowpodcast@gmail.com. And finally, we're coming down to the end of the year, and That Horror Show Podcast has one more episode left before the new year.
Ooh.
So stay tuned for our December episode entitled That Christmas Horror Episode.
With no pants.
Yes.
Well, that's optional. Yeah.
Dave, would you like to take us out?
Oh, God. I don't have anything ready.
No.
I didn't know you guys still
did
that.
No, we were just giving you shit. Don't worry about it.
We'll recycle something.
Yeah, recycle something.
They will never know.
No, you don't have to. We're just giving you
gobble, gobble, motherfuckers.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, guys.
For a run clean.
Thanks for listening.
Oh, son of a gun. You thought I was going to say son of a bitch, didn't you?